Bring greetings to each of you tonight in the name of Jesus. Also bring you greetings from the brothers and sisters at chapel. Invite you to come and share with us whenever you have opportunity. We appreciated having your brother, one of your brothers, share on a Wednesday evening topic here some time ago. And appreciate that interaction congregationally. It's good to come again tonight and worship with you all. We enjoy the ride down through the countryside of Kirkwood. It is different than the countryside of Bally and Bartow where we live. We do not see the Amish farms like y'all have here, and it's beautiful countryside. God bless you all and your service for him here. It's encouraging to come and see the church grow. One of the things I appreciate about Kirkwood congregation is that it seems like a young, lively congregation. It seems like there's energy here, and you can just feel that. And God bless you for that. Just use that for him. The subject that is before us tonight, as I have it written in my tablet, troubled by the trivial, or with the trivial. I'm not sure what you're expecting to hear tonight. I trust that the Lord will supply your need in whatever that is as you labor and as you go through the week. As I looked at this subject and endeavored to study it, one of the things that I had to reckon with at early on in this is defining these terms. I talked with a few of my coworkers about it. We had some discussions. It'd be interesting to know what you think of when you think of trivial things. What are trivial things? Troubled by the trivial. Let's look at this title just a little bit. So what do we mean by being troubled? Well, by being troubled, we mean showing concern, anxious. And Webster's also says it means having a troubled feeling. So you're concerned or you're anxious about something. Maybe we could say worried a little bit. Another definition that Webster's gives is exhibiting, in other words, showing emotional or behavioral problems. That's troubled. So you're exhibiting or you're showing emotional or behavioral problems. That's troubled. That's being troubled. Now, what is trivial? Trivial means ordinary, commonplace, of little worth or importance. So the subject that you titled me to or asked me to share on is having emotional or behavioral problems over ordinary, commonplace things. Well, I see some of you smiling. Maybe we do sometimes. Maybe we do have some trouble. Have some concern or anxious feeling about commonplace things. There are times when the pressures of life begin to wear on our physical framework and our physical bodies. There are times when those pressures begin to wear on us. And the burden of this message, I believe, is to challenge us to look at our lives and ask ourselves the question, are we allowing the circumstances of this life to rob us of our joy in Christ, to rob us of peace, to rob us of freedom in Christ, of liberty? Are they robbing us of our personal, interpersonal relationships as we deal with others, in how we live life, and how we face life, the pressures of life? One of the things that we need to talk about is that not all of us sees situations the same way. What might be trivial to one sister, what might be commonplace, I'll use that word probably different times throughout the message, commonplace or ordinary to one person, may be something really mountainous to another person. It may be something difficult. So we do not all see things the same way. And we need to be gracious with each other as it relates to these things. We do not all see things. Sometimes we might think, well, just get over it. I mean, this just happens. Just get over it. Well, it may not be that easy for that individual. The next time, someone may think that I should just get over it. It's really not a big deal. Well, troubled by the trivial, the burden of this message to challenge us to look at our lives, as I said, are we allowing the circumstances of life to rob us of our joy in Christ? And we'd like to look briefly here at what is Christian joy. What is Christian joy? You know, as Christian people, we should be happy, joyful people, shouldn't we? I have always considered myself, I think, to be a happy person. But my coworkers have reminded me already of my countenance, how I look sad or glum or what's wrong, Dave? And I'm reminded lately here again, as I thought maybe about relation to this message, of how, you know, my face muscles can just really... they can just really hang down. Sometimes I think about it, you know, it's time to smile again. It's time to, you know, life isn't all just pressure and hurrying to the next meeting and getting home in time. And, you know, do I have joy in living? What is Christian joy? Turn with me to John 15. I'd like to read just a few verses here in this definition of Christian joy. If you have your Bibles along, I'd like you to turn with me there. John chapter 15. I'd like to look at this just briefly here in introduction of what Jesus says about joy. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Well, let's start verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I see from these verses that It is God's design, the heart of Jesus, the heart of God, is that his children, his disciples, would be joyful people. And that joy is rooted in his joy. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. Full joy. You see, when I begin to try to gain my fulfillment and my joy in life, my happiness. See, this joy is deeper, I believe, than just being happy. It is something within that comes from the sin question, the guilt question being answered by the blood of Jesus, which produces a joy in living. But when I begin to look at other things to fulfill the emptiness that I might feel in my heart in some way or other, I begin to look at people, I begin to look at things, we begin we start going down a road of unfulfilled dreams. We start going down a road of disappointment. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. You see, it's rooted in keeping the commandments of the Lord and abiding in his love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I was just blessed by that. Christian joy. Meaning of joy is cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Troubled by the trivial. I think of the song, one of my favorite songs, talks about God and his power. O God, thy power is wonderful, thy glory passing bright, thy wisdom with its deep on deep, our raptures to the sight, something like that. And it talks about God and his power, his sovereignty. One verse says, O little heart of mine, can sorrow make thee moan? When all this God is all for thee, a father all thine own. We are blessed tonight to know God as our Father. To have a relationship with him. Are we joyful people? Christian joy springs from the heart of one who has experienced the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in his life. The burden of guilt is gone, and the peace of joy, the peace and joy of God is present in his heart. His joy in God is not dependent upon his earthly circumstances, but upon his acceptance of them and his accompanying faith and trust in God's sovereignty. Just say that again. Christian joy springs from the heart of one who has experienced the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in his life. The burden of guilt is gone, and the peace and joy of God is present in his heart. His joy in God is not dependent upon his earthly circumstances, but upon his acceptance of them and his accompanying faith and trust in God's sovereignty. I am well aware tonight that there are trivial things that happen. There are commonplace things that happen. There is the splinter that I get in my finger. There is the, what can you say? There is the glass of water that spills at the supper table. There is the loaf of bread that got burnt. I don't know. What is it on this side? Well, you say just trivial things. You know, they're small things. But then I'm well aware that there are some things that are not so trivial. There are some things that happen in life that are traumatizing. Instantly, it happens. And it is beyond. It's beyond what we can think. And we grapple. We wonder, why? Where? Why? God, what? But I have to tell you that in either of those situations, the path forward to peace and joy is acceptance. Is acceptance. At some point or another. And it can be very difficult, but troubled by the trivial as our subject. We do not all have the same pain tolerances. We talked about that. I'd like for you to turn with me now to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read this chapter, and I have two main points. First one is reasons we may be troubled by trivial things. The second main point is helps to strengthening our trust in God. Under these two points, I have a number of maybe sub-points. But I'd like to read Philippians chapter 4, first of all. Paul was a man who went through a lot of things. But in Philippians, I believe the word joy, I didn't count it, but I've been told, but read, that the word joy in the book of Philippians is mentioned about 16 times. Paul went through a lot of things, but I was impressed as I read Philippians 4 and noticing what he says. And I would like to look for a theme verse, maybe, for this subject is verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to read the chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they may be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet thee. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I enjoy that chapter very much. I'd like to look, first of all, here at some reasons we may be troubled by trivial things. What are some reasons that maybe we are troubled by commonplace things? Troubled, again, we're saying that we are perplexed or anxious by trivial things. Just share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart as I studied this, as I looked at my own life. Number one, fear. And it's not necessarily number one because it's the number one reason, it's just that I have it number one. And that is fear. We may be troubled by trivial things because of fear. Fear of man. Fear of failure. And fear that is false. Three fears. Some reasons we may be troubled by trivial things. Fear of man. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read Psalm 56 and just a few verses. Fear of man. Think of your life and how you live life. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Sometimes we're troubled by trivial things. All right, so brethren or sisters, if you're asked to teach a Sunday school class, is it trivial or isn't it? It's commonplace. But to some people it may be traumatic, maybe. I'm not sure. And again, we must be gracious. We're not all the same. We do not all have the same personalities. But there can be the fear of man. The fear of man that troubles us with the trivial thing. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29:25. Remember, Elijah feared Jezebel. He feared what Jezebel said. Remember Peter. He denied our Lord Jesus. I believe that the Bible doesn't tell us, but in my own mind, I deduct that Peter was fearful of man. Now, that wasn't necessarily a trivial thing, but it's a fear of man. It can be a reason we're troubled by trivial things. Fear of failure. Moses. Okay, God asking Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt was a huge thing. But Moses feared failure. He protested God's call and gave numerous reasons to God of why he would not be qualified to do what God has called him to. But that same fear of failure can be present with us in the small things in life that we are called to do. Fear of failure. And we're troubled by it. We're anxious about it. Maybe we're hostess for the first Sunday. We've never done it before. And we're anxious. What if? Just what if? And we're anxious. And you know, those things can cause us, I don't know, can they cause us some behavior problems sometimes? Why are you so ouchy tonight? Why are you grouchy? What's wrong? Well, yeah, Sunday's coming up. I was concerned about that meal. Maybe you don't have any of those things that happen in your life. We could use an illustration for the brothers too. But fear of failure, I believe, can be a reason that we're troubled by trivial things. Fear is real. Fear is real. Fear of failure can cripple an individual to the point where they begin to lose hope and fulfillment in life. Fear that they're going to fail. And you know what? I think sometimes that we almost develop a culture where, how should I word this? We almost develop a culture where for someone to make a mistake or to fail, it's a huge thing. I think that we, as gentle Christian people, should allow the song leader who never led singing before to make a mistake and encourage him on. Or whoever it is, where there is a mistake. Not talking about sinful things here necessarily, but you see, our children, as we're raising our children, within reason, and we don't want them to get hurt, no. But within reason, we allow them to try their wings or their experiment or whatever it is, and we allow them to experience failure if it comes to that. And we help them through it. I'm not talking about something where they're going to get hurt, or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about helping them to learn what it's like to try something and it fails. And we pick up, we decide what went wrong, and we try it again. The inventors of today and the inventors of yesterday had many, many scrap heaps. Many, many scrap heaps. I'm not talking about, I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm not talking about spiritual things where we dabble in, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about helping our children and not taking risks that are way beyond human reasoning. I'm not talking about that. But fear of failure can cripple an individual to the point where they begin to lose hope and fulfillment in life. Now, fear that is false. What is fear that is false? I'm not going to say a lot about this, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit because it is real. There has been a time in my life already where I was driving down the road and I heard something bump. I didn't see anything, but something bumped. What bumped? What was that? You know what? What was that? And you know, a grown man can turn around and go back and see what it was, even though he knows that it really wasn't anything probably at the first place. And that's a false fear. troubled by trivial things. You know, there are behavioral stresses at times that develop because of false fear, where there is a false fear. False fear is a fear of a perceived possibility that something bad might happen as a result of an action done or heard. This false fear, if not overcome by faith, drives one to a matching compulsion. The world today calls it OCD. Praise God, there is victory and deliverance to overcome fear and anxiety. But these things are real. They are real at times in our lives. False fear. We're talking about being troubled by trivial things. And those things can be very, very troubling. Very, very troubling. And if what I'm saying makes sense to you, God bless you. And there is help and victory in those situations. All right, that was fear. Reasons we may be troubled by the trivial. Number two, insecurity. Doubtful and distrusting, feeling insecure for whatever reasons. And these have multifacets that can be attached to them. But insecurity. Number three is pride. James 4 talks about submitting ourselves to God, drawing nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts, humbling ourselves before God. Number four, an earthly focus. Luke 12 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." By that, I believe, in simple terms, is that our heart will go where our treasure is. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above." A brother had told me that, just in relation, I don't even know what the subject was that we were talking about, but he made the comment, "Hold the things of life loosely. Hold the things of life loosely." Paul says in our passage here that we read, "I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." It is certainly right and proper to want to do a good job. Absolutely. But can we accept failure? I enjoy making barbecue chicken. The other Saturday I made barbecue chicken, and you know what? It didn't get right. And it bothered me. I was troubled by the trivial, but you know what? I accepted it, I think. But our focus can be on the earthly things. It can be a reason that we are troubled by the trivial. All right, for the last part of the message, I would like to look at some helps to strengthening our trust in God. Just some helps, and these are very simple ones. Strengthening our trust in God from Philippians chapter 4, number 1. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Number one is stand fast in the Lord. To stand fast in the Lord is to not be moved by temptations to sin. To stand fast in the Lord is to have a faith in Him. in place of fear. It is when I'm driving down the road and the next time I hear that bump and I know in my heart that this is a false fear, and I choose to have faith and I plow through. Stand fast in the Lord. When I say plow through, is that I break through that fear. And the more that I can break through the fear, the less grip that fear will have on me, and the stronger my faith will be. So stand fast means that we need to think right and focus our minds on upbuilding things. Verse 8, and we'll notice that in just a bit. Stand fast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. When the water spills at the supper table, the young lad, who it was an accident, he didn't try it. No, he was telling the story and he was excited about it, and the water spilled. So stand fast in the Lord checks our response. It checks our response. You see, the Bible tells us to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought before you speak it. Stand fast. Number two. Helps, and this one here, I felt led to put it down. Unify ourselves with our church brothers. Unify ourselves with our church brothers. Number, verse 2 and 3. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they may be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Helps to strengthen our trust in God. Unify ourselves with our church brothers. Pull together. Submitting ourselves to each other is a valuable discipline, and when done in the fear of God, produces beautiful results. Submitting together. Apparently, these two individuals had a quarrel between them. While they helped Paul, apparently here there was a quarrel, and Paul is saying, help these women to come back together again, to be unified. An encouraging word goes a long way. Love in action is active. Love in action is active. Today we are living in a culture that is individualistic. Church membership and church unity and submission and surrender is not liked. Now, I'm not talking about living life and coasting along on the shirt tails and coattails of other people. No. But we need each other. We draw from each other. We need to be unified together and pull together. We gain strength from each other. That encouraging word that you received, that gift that you get, or the one that you give, is so needful. Mind the spirit. Troubled by the trivial. We're talking about helps to not be troubled by the trivial. Unify yourself with church brethren. Number three, choose to pray rather than worry. Choose to pray rather than worry. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Matthew 6:25. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? God knows what we need. God knows what we need. He also knows what we want, but He knows what we need. He knows what is best for us, but He also wants us to, He wants to hear our prayer. He wants to hear our communication. Dads and moms, when you have a child who you so want to talk to, you want to hear their heart, but they're not talking. They're not talking. And it burdens you, doesn't it? Talk to God. Pray to Him. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray believing. But pray in the with the Father, pray that the Father's will be done. James 5, verse 16b, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord is at hand, verse 5 says. The Lord is at hand. Do you know what that means to me? That means that the Lord is just right close. He's right at hand. He's waiting for our call. He knows what we need, but he's right at hand. He is close by. He stands ready to help. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Prayer is an essential in releasing our burdens to the care of God, the Sovereign One. It is from Him that true peace is found. It passes all understanding. We have found that to be true, haven't we? In life's burdens, whether it's trivial or it's traumatic, we have found that God's peace passes all understanding. How beautiful. Yes, at times it takes time for that peace to settle in. It's not instantaneous, maybe. We give our heart to the Lord. It's instantaneous. The guilt is gone. There's peace in our heart. But when we lose a loved one or something else traumatic happens, it may take time. The peace of God settles as we wrestle. But yet, even in those times, I think I can testify that deep down, there is peace. There is peace. We don't know all the reasons why some of these things happen. But pray. Pray rather than worry. Number four. Occupy our minds by thinking proper thoughts. Helps for strengthening our trust in God. Occupy our minds by thinking proper thoughts. I talked about that a little bit earlier. You see, if we are going to go right in life, we are going to need to think right. If we're going to go right, we're going to need to think right. If I allow myself to think negative thoughts, I will begin to develop negative actions. I will begin to have negative approaches to life. Not all things in life are positive. Not all things are a happy feeling. But it is up to me to decide how I will process it. It's up to me to decide. Will I become bitter or will I become better? Peace in our hearts is directly related to our willingness to accept those things that we cannot change, our heart's tensions, and likewise its joys are revealed in how we talk and act. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation, your gracious, your graciousness, your walk be known unto all men. Peace in our hearts. Thinking right, I want to read here, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I can see that I have some room to grow in my thinking processes, thinking true things. You know what? I find that news is really negative. Wow. It can be really negative, and it can sort of cloud your life. But think on positive things. Yes, be real with life. There are negative things that we must process and deal with. Absolutely. But what are you seeking to hear? What are you seeking to feed on? And what are you seeking to pass along? Troubled by the trivial. Number 5, by occupying our time with right activities, helps to strengthening our trust in God. Occupy our time with right activities. One of the helps in getting our minds off of ourselves is to reach out to others and become a helper, a fellow helper to other people. Become involved in other people's lives. Become the change, I said already, become the change you would like to see in someone else. Become that change yourself. You see, verse 13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our strength is from Christ, and we can do all things through Him. He is the source of our strength. Our strength to live above worry and anxiety comes from Christ. And at times I am reminded in my own life where I am burdened and I'm anxious about something. And I remember, you know what? I didn't pray about this. I didn't tell the Lord about this. And in sincerity, when we tell Him, it usually makes us feel better, doesn't it? We just leave it there. Well, lastly, in conclusion, it is in Christ that we live and move and have our being. It is in Him. There's a few promises I want to leave with you. There's 5 of them. Number 1, the Lord is at hand. Reminded of Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is at hand. He's nigh unto them that call upon Him. Number 2, peace beyond understanding is able to keep us. Is able to keep us. I love that verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, able to keep us. God is with us, number 3. Number 4, God strengthens us. And number 5, God shall supply our need according to His riches. How rich is God? He can supply our need according to His riches. He may not supply our want, but He will supply our need. May God bless you as you go through the week. I am sure that this week there are going to be trivial things that are going to be troubling. I'm sure of that. We're human. We live in bodies that fail. And there are things that are going to be troubling. But just maybe this message tonight will jerk you back to reality as you think about the goodness of God and His strength that's available and His provisions. And just maybe all of us together will grow one notch this week in our trust and faith in Him. God bless you.